97.5, The Fanatic.
1 hour flown by here on 97.5 Fanatic. We got three more to go, taking you until 8 o'clock. Tyler Zuli and Nat Marlow here on The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. I got to tell you guys, Yannick Ngakoue is the ultimate troll. Because I don't know why he's playing with my emotions like this. But just about an hour ago, on what looks to be his Instagram story, and I'll go confirm in a little bit, but he put up a picture of Trent Cole doing the hunter pose.
Huh?
And he's been kind of masking his tweets and his Instagram posts to say that, well, we know that he wants out of Jacksonville, but to say that he would love to play in Philadelphia. I don't know if this is true or not, but I know Philadelphia would love to have him. I know that the Eagles' one strong point right now is the defensive line, well, and quarterback, of course, but the one strong point on the defensive side is defensive line, and it would probably cost you a first-round pick. You got to stop playing with my emotions here, Yannick. I can't do this. I had a super draft crush on you coming out of Maryland. I thought the Jags had the greatest defensive draft in the history of football when they drafted Ngakoue and Miles Jack and Jalen Ramsey in the first, second, and third round. You can't do this to me. You're going to hurt my feelings when you're not an Eagle. You're really going to hurt my feelings when you're a New York Giant or something like that. 610-632-0975. Let's go out to Pat in Bluebell up next. You're on The Fanatic. What's up, Pat?
Hey, yeah. How you been? You know, I was thinking about this, and he just hung on too long, but he was one of the most commanding pitchers I've ever seen live or ever, and that was Lefty Steve Carl.
Sure.
I mean, he just, if anyone was lucky enough, you're probably too young to have seen this guy live. It was truly amazing. He just overpowered people. He was, and then he stuck on around too long, in my opinion.
Right.
One of the things I wanted to mention, this is also probably before your time, I have a bunch of ones that look funny in a strip in New Jersey, but I'll just give you one, unless you allow me to give me more. But when, and again, he won the Super Bowl. He upset the world. And Joe Namath. He was a Jet all of his career, and he looked really funny in a L.A. Rams uniform.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I think especially the guys that have success, you know, longevity is one determinant, but success with longevity is a second. So when you have a Super Bowl, maybe the greatest upset in NFL history, you guaranteed your team was going to win, and then you went out there and backed it up like a man, and then you end up as an L.A. Ram, it's just... I understand guys are hanging on, guys are trying to make more money, whatever you're trying to do. I'm never going to fault you for trying to stay in the league longer than you should, but it does end up looking super weird when Joe Namath is a Ram.
You know, if there's one thing I would have liked is, and you got to remember, this is 1969, 1970, sure. New York City. Can you imagine hanging with him for a weekend?
Oh, man. and the thing is, too, if you look back at all the old pictures, you know, the one that always baffled me the most was Len Dawson at the Super Bowl at halftime. You know, just sitting there casually smoking a cigarette like that. Could you imagine that happening today?
Now times have changed. It's just a different world, and it changed rather quickly.
Right.
If you really look at the history of the world, how it's changed, and by the way, that extends towards technology.
Sure.
The exponential growth of the technology, what they've done in the last 20, 30 years is just shocking.
So, Pat, let me ask you this before I let you go. You mentioned Lefty. You know, obviously, he spent 15 of his 24 years in Philly. Of these four teams, which one was the oddest to you? Was it the Twins, Giants, Indians, or White Sox?
You know what? The Twins were a little weird for me, and the fact that he was just spent. I mean, he needed to get. I mean, I think his ERA was like 15 his last season.
Yes, I mean, he only pitched in four games, but it was 16.7.
Yeah, I mean, here's a guy, but he was into martial arts. He was a different character. He was just not, you know, I mean, he was just a little bit different than a regular guy. That's what they say, anyway.
That's why you have the dominance and longevity that you do, and you end up being a Hall of Famer.
He's amazing. He was truly, I'll tell you, I'm old enough to remember when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played for the Bucks.
Right.
I can imagine what the people there saw. Why would they trade this guy?
Sure.
Isn't he crazy? Look what he did after he left there for like 15 years.
Sure. Pat, appreciate the phone call today.
Right,
thanks so much for making it. 610-632-0975. Steve Carlton's a great one because not only is it a guy that you saw have longevity, like, let's put it into perspective. Looking back 30 years from now, what my generation's kids are going to look back on and say, Derek Jeter's a Yankee. Through and through, he's a Yankee. Could you imagine Derek Jeter at the end of his career, you know, not being a Yankee anymore and playing shortstop for a couple of seasons for, you know, a season with the Reds and a season with the Astros just hanging on? That would be what I imagine Steve Carlton was like, pitching with the Indians and the White Sox and the Twins at the end of his career. I mean, this is a guy, Pat brought it up, his regimens were insane. They were groundbreaking for the time. This is a guy that was, you know, would do workouts in tubs of rice for extra resistance. You know, now everybody does the water workout. Who does workouts in rice? It's a different guy. But that's a guy that you talk about having longevity and success with the Phillies for so long. And I mean, quite honestly, had a real good run with the Cardinals prior to being traded to the Phillies. So he had what was success for the better part of 22 seasons. And maybe not 22, because, you know, maybe towards the back end, I guess it was a little bit less with the Phillies. But I mean, even then it was 3-5 and 3-3 for his final 2 years with the Phillies, even though he was 1-8 in 1985. That is a perfect example of seeing a guy that looks weird in a different jersey. Because I wonder if Cardinals fans looked at Steve Carlton even after 7 years and said, wow, it's going to take some getting used to seeing this guy in Philadelphia. And then he plays 15 years for Philly. It's a great answer. Byron in Bucks County, you're up next on the Fanatic. What's up, Byron?
Hey, what's going on today?
How's it going? Thanks for making the call.
Thank you. You know, the one that's still recently that's kind of broke my heart, and he was a Philly, you know, he was beloved during this era. Still scratched my head how he not still here, but Shady McCoy when he left.
Yes.
All-time leading rusher. I mean, he was Philly through and through. Fan favorite. You go down to the stadium, that's all you see was Shady McCoy jerseys. And when, you know, Chip let him go, that was yours a hole, I think, in the city's stomach right there.
And Byron, I have to be fully transparent. I believe in being truthful on the air, both when you're right and when you're wrong. When that trade happened, I looked at the Eagles linebacking core, and it was guys like Jamar Chaney and, you know, Stu Bradley in years past. And I looked at that trade and I said, this could work out for both sides. If Kiko Alonso could be what he was in Buffalo, this might be okay. And then we saw the Kiko Alonso that we saw, and we all went, Chip, what are you doing, man? Come on.
Yeah. I think he had a lot of people, is, you know, scratching that. Was Kiko Alonso, was he here for 1 year?
Kiko Alonso was here. I want to say he was here for a second, but I'll take a look for you real quick. And you know what the funny thing about Kiko Alonso is, because he's still a productive player in the NFL today, was that he was good with the Bills and then had a nice tenure with the Dolphins after, and then is now with the New Orleans Saints, just signed a contract, re-upped his contract a couple of days ago. So, yeah, he only played in 2015. He was here for one season with the Eagles.
Right. And the other part of your question is, I had two. The jersey that didn't make any sense to me, and he's another Philly, he was beloved, you know, at a time where, you know, we needed him. It was hard for me to see Curt Schilling when he left here to go to Arizona. Then he won the World Series, you know what I mean? And then on top of that, then he goes to Boston. But I think that
and wins
Arizona
another one.
Jersey, yeah. The Arizona jersey just
yes.
killed him.
Okay, so, and you know what's funny too, Byron, because I was like 9 at the time when that happened, so that was really the first super rotation that I got a chance to see, and it was only two deep. It was just him and Randy Johnson, but the utter dominance for the entirety of that 2001 season was really impressive.
Yeah, right. And then the other ugly jersey that doesn't make any sense to me is seeing Michael Jordan in a Wizards jersey.
Yes.
I was like, huh?
Yes.
You know, like him and, like, you know, Karl Malone, who's in Utah for 20 years, and all of a sudden next he shows up in the Lakers jersey.
Right.
Like, didn't make sense to me. You know?
Byron, appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for making it. The superstar, we've talked about it throughout. The superstar is the weirdest one. Because you could have a guy that lingered for years and was okay and then goes to a different team and you don't even realize that he played for this team or that team. Everyone knows who Michael Jordan went to after he was done with the Bulls. We all know he was a Washington Wizard. Everyone knows Joe Montana finished his career with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's those superstars that you can name off the top of your head to say, yes, this guy finished his career with this certain team. And you go, man, should you have just given it up? Should you have just stopped right there? We're going to have a chance to see that in 2020, assuming the NFL is played. We're going to have a chance to see that in 2020 with Tom Brady. Are we going to look back on Tom Brady's Tampa Bay tenure and say, yeah, you still could play a little bit, but should you have just let it go and been a New England Patriot your entire career? It's a tough way. Because like I just said, I've got no issue with a guy trying to extend his career. Because A, you're going for the most important thing, more money, which you can never have enough of it. B, you're trying to extend your legacy, especially if you're going to a team that you think has a chance to compete. Now, the Wizards had no chance to compete. It was MJ holding on. The Bucks are in a weird predicament because they could be good or they could be bad. It really is going to hinge on, is Tom Brady better than Jameis Winston? So we'll find out.
But what do you think the odds are he actually goes out and wins a Super Bowl for the Bucks?
I don't think very high. I don't think that they're a good enough team to win the Super Bowl. I think within the NFC, they're probably, at best, the seventh best team. Because I look at the NFC, and I know that the 49ers are still better. I believe that Green Bay is still better. I believe that New Orleans is still better. For what it's worth, I still think the Eagles are better. I still believe that the Vikings are better. So at best, they're the seventh team. They're in the same realm as Arizona. Because Arizona goes out and gets DeAndre Hopkins. They're going to be a good offensive unit, I think, in Kyler Murray's second season. But they're right in that same realm where I really don't know.
The we'll see realm.
Exactly. They're in the maybe. They're in the could be. They're in the possibly. But are they in the locks? The Eagles aren't in the locks by any means. And the San Francisco 49ers, I think, are still in the locks. I think after the year we saw Green Bay have last year, they're still in the locks. I think the Saints have one more year in that lock category. Then you've got tier number two, which is the Minnesota Vikings, the Eagles, the Seahawks. I think they're all in the good teams, could be great. We'll see what happens. And then you've got the mystery tier. Tampa Bay, Arizona, the Falcons, the Rams. Who knows? I'm interested to see how this thing plays out because we could look back on this and go, dude, you should have just retired. But either way, whether it's good or bad, it's going to be weird, that's for sure. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Stan in Drexel Hill up next on the Fanatic. What's up, Stan?
What's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for making the call, man.
Yeah. You know, I kind of disagree. I actually think Tampa Bay is going to be a little bit better than people think. Only
really?
Because now we're going to see now the question really is going to be the offensive line. That's really the thing, because if you can't stand upright, you can't throw the ball to anybody. But giving him a weapon like, I mean, Mike Evans, we see how good he can be. And that was with Jameis Winston throwing 30 interceptions.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So now having a guy like Tom Brady on your team throwing you the football, and then not to mention the tight end that they have, I forgot what his name is, but they got a stud tight end down there. And we know how Brady feels about tight ends. So it's like, I think that team could be a lot better, at least maybe offensively. I think they're going to be a lot better than people actually think they might be. And they might be one of those sleeper teams that I wouldn't be surprised if I look at the standings and you see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at like 11 wins.
So,
I really wouldn't be shocked.
So here's the thing with the Bucs is Cameron Brate is their tight end. And then their receiving weapons outside of course.
No, who's the other kid that they got from? They have the other. Oh, my God. I forgot what his last name is. But it was somebody else that they had. I think last year was his rookie season.
I'm blanking.
Is it Howard? Is his last name Howard?
Oh, OJ Howard. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yes. You're 100% correct. OJ Howard is actually the number one. I'm looking at the depth chart. The first.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. That's so you are correct there. OJ Howard is out of Miami. I think he's a freak athlete.
There you go.
So
yeah, exactly.
My wonder is, and you're right about the offensive line. The left side seems pretty solid with Donovan Smith and Ali Marpet.
Right.
But after that, it's three guys that
question marks.
Yeah. It's
right,
question
absolutely.
Marks.
So and that's why I've heard rumors about them maybe even bringing in
Jason Peters.
Jason Peters,
yeah,
exactly,
I've heard that as exactly. well. The question on that is Donovan Smith willing to move to right tackle? Because I don't think Jason Peters will be. But
yeah, I agree with you on that.
But if they do, it's an improvement over the offense and the weapons they have between Godwin and Mike Evans, like you mentioned, Perriman. If they decide to bring him back, they've got some threats.
That's why I say I wouldn't. I'm not saying they will be. I'm not saying will be at all. You know, obviously NFL is a weird type of thing, but
okay.
I would not be surprised. It would not shock me. And I agree with you in Ndakwe. I don't know if he's really trying to get to Philly. I don't know if that's what he's trying to push. I don't know if it's something his agent is telling
he's
him.
He's teasing like, hey, us, man. He's teasing us.
You know what I mean? Like, we're working with Philly to try to get you there. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, I didn't realize how much I really need that to happen until like right now.
It's
killing me.
We know that that's their strength, or one of their strengths, is defensive
absolutely.
Line.
It's probably their biggest strength right now.
You can never have too many.
Oh, no, you can't. You can't. To have an incredible rotation like that where you just got different guys coming at you, stopping the run, and then you have guys coming off the edge like him, that would be disgusting, right? That would be the one thing that I think consistently we as a fan base would collectively always say, like, okay, we're good.
Right.
It's just about the offense, you know, getting some weapons for Wentz and then working out the kinks. Now, I don't know if anybody said this. I kind of just got on not too long ago, but for me, it's always going to be Allen Iverson. It's always going to be AI.
Yeah,
it's going to be AI. Because I was already not really a Billy King guy, to be honest with you. I really wasn't. And then when he traded AI, I just completely lost it. To the point where, like, I really was like, I'm not watching the Sixers anymore. I'm going to watch the Nuggets.
Oh, now, you fell off the entire team, not so much just Allen Iverson.
But it didn't last for too long because I think after AI left, that's when Iguodala kind of ascended and
right.
he kind of stepped up and he had a very good towards the end of the year. Then, of course, the next year, I think he averaged like 19.5 or 20 almost. So, like, they kind of got me back in with the hope, with the promise that was going to do something. But I always felt like they let him go too early, too soon. I didn't like it because, to me, even though Andre Miller was a good player for us, he really was. He's a very solid player for us. I just felt like Billy King pulled the trigger way too fast, and I would have loved to see an AI maybe with somebody else with better direction. You know, and that's why when I watch Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and I'm hearing people talking about a trade one of them, I'm like, y'all really must have lost your mind because you forgot. And all due respect to Andre Iguodala and Andre Miller and them for getting us to the playoffs and being some hard workers, but we were stuck in a loop of mediocrity.
Yep, being that 6-7-8 seed.
Exactly. Every single year you lost to Detroit, you lost to Orlando, and then eventually when you finally got past the first round because Chicago got hurt with Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose, you lost to Boston in 7. So it's like, to me, even though we're underachieving right now, I'm not going to say that we're not. You know that if the Sixers were hitting on all cylinders, this would be a contending team because they have the pieces. Back then, they didn't have it.
Yep.
So it's like you guys were talking about trading one of these two blockbuster pieces that we have. And it's like, y'all really want to go back to these dark ages when we're struggling to be, you know, 6-7-8 seed, maybe a 5th seed just to get bounced in the first round, maybe the second round. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So I think people need to appreciate what we have because we have something special here and we got to let it grow because otherwise it's going to be AI all over again, man.
Stan, appreciate the phone call as always, man. Thanks for making it. He is 100% correct. You've heard me, if you've heard me say one thing about the NBA in particular, I believe this about all leagues across the board, but the NBA more so than any other league in the four major sports. If you are not in the top 3 seeds, you are doing something wrong. And what I mean by if you're not in the top 3 seeds, if you are not seed 1, 2, or 3, or one of the worst 3 teams in your conference, you're doing something wrong. Being anywhere from, I'll say 4 conservatively, but even if we go to 5, being anywhere from 5 to 10 or 11 in your conference is a horrible place to be. Because you are still finding a way to make the playoffs if you're 5, 6, 7, or 8, or you're just outside of the playoffs if you're 9 or 10 or 11. But you're also your draft stock, your draft lottery percentage is too small to really have a chance at getting a top pick. How many times have we seen the 10th or 11th worst record jump into the top 3? Off the top of my head, I don't have a clear answer, but I guarantee you it's not very high. So in the NBA, Stan's 100% correct. You have to have direction one way or the other. He called them the dark ages. I call it sports purgatory. Whatever you want to call it, it's the worst spot in the NBA to be, is in that 5 to 10 range within your own conference. And by the way, Stan mentions letting go of Allen Iverson a little bit too early. So in the 50 games that he played with the Nuggets in 2006, he averaged 24.8 points per game. In his only full season with Denver, his 32-age season in 2007-2008, he averaged 26.4 points per game. Then after that, he kind of dipped into the high teens, 17 or 18, in his split time between the Nuggets and Detroit. And then his lone season in Detroit in 2008, he averaged 17. Things kind of fell off from there. But Stan's right to the point where, I mean, the guy scored 26.4 points per game in 2007-2008. You're going to tell me that in 2008, the Sixers couldn't have used him? I don't know, man. 610-632-0975. Let's head out all the way out to Boise, Idaho, and talk to Larry on the Fanatic. What's up, Larry?
Hey, guys. I want to wish everybody in my hometown good health. And take care of yourself.
Oh, thank you. You as well, Larry.
What you were just talking about, I do have a point on the Eagles, but what you were just talking about, NBA, it's called mensa mensa. It's an Italian expression. I'm not Italian, but what it means is not that bad, but not that good. And as a Sixers fan, when they would bring up all the talking, you know, the tanking stuff, I say, you know what? We're 41-41, and we stink. I mean, at least when we stripped it down,
right?
It gave us a lot of hope. With the potential to be better, and we're better, and we're fun, and we're in the playoffs. So it's funny, all those guys used to complain about that thing. But, you know, hey, I grew up, I lived in South Florida for a long time, and always an Eagles fan. But I got to watch a lot of Marino. And the thing that really made Marino dangerous was when the Dolphins went out, and they brought in Mark Duper and Mark Clayton. And if Howie's listening, he might be sitting around the office today. You go after your number one pick and your number two pick, you get small, dangerous speed. And those guys are going to be available, especially in the first round. Because what that does, that makes Carson dangerous.
Sure.
He's not dangerous. He's good now. But you get a couple little speedsters, plus complimented by Ward, and maybe Deshaun if he can stay healthy. And that's where you really get dangerous. And that's where you keep your defense off the field as much as you can.
So,
and it becomes a beautiful thing.
Let me ask you this, because you use specific adjectives in small and fast. That makes me believe you've got a player in mind that is your top target. Is there anybody that you look at and say, that's my guy no matter what?
I don't have the list. There's a kid from Oklahoma, and there's a kid from, Alabama.
Okay, but so then, you're looking at CeeDee Lamb or Henry Ruggs, I'd assume, if you're looking for speed.
And then in the second round, they think that kid from TCU.
Jalen Reagor.
Right. They think he could be available. But there's talent. I want small speed. I want him to fly and open up the offense. Because you got tight ends that can catch the ball. You got nice selection of young running backs. But to me, that's when Marino really got dangerous as a quarterback. When they went and got, I think they got him the same year, Duper and Clayton. And that was it. He became a superstar quarterback with them.
So real quick, before I let you go, do you have a weird jersey that looked odd on a, on a player?
Charles always bothered me wearing a Phoenix Suns jersey.
So it was the Phoenix Suns more so than the Rockets?
Yeah, because that was right after the Sixers. I was working, and when my wife called me that morning, she said, Charles isn't a Sixer anymore, and I had to pull over. I was ready to, I wanted to cry for
just
about
kind of floored you
hour.
A little bit.
But, you know, with Charles, and also, I'm old enough to remember when Wilt got traded. In both situations, to me, it was devastating seeing my Philly superstar in another jersey, but both of them were traded quality for quantity. Do you remember who Wilt was traded for?
I don't, no.
Jerry Chambers, Darryl Imhoff, and Archie Clark. Okay, so we got three of mensa players, okay? Who was Charles traded for? Hornacek, Jerry, who was the other guy?
That's a good question. Let's look it up now, because and your point is fair. That's exactly a fair point to say.
You trade a superstar.
It doesn't matter.
You don't get it back when you trade quantity for quality.
Right, exactly. Larry, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I want to touch on that a little bit on the other side, because that's a great point. Because there is an athlete in this city that I am tired of hearing trade talks about. And it's been 8 years now. Those trade talks have died down a little bit. But for way too long, I'll get this guy out of town. I'll get something for him. He's never going to be the leader. He's never going to be the winner. Now, you know who I'm talking about.
Are you talking about the one and only?
We'll get to it on the other side.
Okay.
That we're gonna let this tease a little bit, because I have a lot of issue with that. A lot of issue with it. Of course, we are continuing our conversation on, give us a player that you were it was the hardest for you to say goodbye to. We're also going about the give us a player you think is going to be the oddest in a new jersey, because Tom Brady, for the first time, is not going to be in New England. He's going to be in Tampa Bay Buccaneers red. Still not going to get used to it. It's going to take quite some time. 610-632-0975. You just heard Nat Marlowe. He's producing the show. I'm Tyler Zuli. We're taking you until 8 o'clock right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Nat Marlowe producing the show. Tyler Zuli taking you until 8 o'clock. Got some good responses on either teams. You know, players that were looked weird on different jerseys, or players that were the hardest to say goodbye to. First, coming up on the good old text board, I get a text from a buddy of mine, Mark. He says, Ken Griffey Jr. in the White Sox jersey. That was weird. I agree. And the Reds one was strange enough, but at least he had some productive seasons with the Reds. The White Sox was just creepy. Dylan McKinnon, one of our producers, checks in. Deshaun in a Washington jersey was tough to get by. Josh Rabick, one of our others, says Eric Lindros. We've had that as well. We get a Jerome Brown mention, and it's not even close. Now, of course, Jerome a little bit different. Of course, different circumstances. We lost him unexpectedly. You know, as opposed to a guy in free agency or something like that. We lost Jerome unexpectedly. Wayne Simmons, J-Roll, and Utley from Robert Wolf. Chase Utley again. Chase Utley and Harold Carmichael as a Cowboy in 1984. That one was probably... And again, I don't blame a guy for hanging on. I really don't. Go get your money. Go get your contract while you can, because your league life is finite. Your league is not. Jerome Brown and Reggie White. Eric Lindros, Charles Barkley. Randall in a Vikings uniform in 1997.
That's weird.
Randall with the team that went 15-1 in 1997 ended up losing to the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC title game when Anderson, who hadn't missed a kick all year, misses the chip shot. We got that. Keep the responses coming on Twitter. I get one from my guy from This Week in Pro Football, Pat Callahan, tells me Wilt as well. Jurgensen, of course, going from the Eagles to the Redskins. That one was weird. Strangest, Bernie Parent in a Maple Leafs jersey. Another weird one. So we're getting kind of spread out. We've gotten all four major sports a couple of times. Now, most of them have been Philadelphia-related, but I love seeing the ones that are outside of Philadelphia. And, of course, saying goodbye to guys is going to be Philadelphia, but the players outside wearing the weird jerseys because of Tom Brady wearing a Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey for the first time next season and not wearing the New England Patriots jersey. Kind of creepy. Quite honestly, creepy might be the word to use, because it's going to take four or five games for me to get used to. You're not going to have to change your TV's color scheme. He's in the right colors. They paid him money. He has a signed contract, and they send him a check every 2 weeks. It's pretty amazing.
How much do you think the Buccaneers' ratings are going to increase because of this?
Well, have you seen the pictures? That's a great question. Have you seen the pictures of the wait lines for Tampa Bay Buccaneers regular season tickets? It's gone up from like 40 to like 4,000 and 40,000.
4,000? What?
In some cases, it's up into the thousands. The wait line is insane after they sign Tom Brady. Because there's not a lot of traction for the Buccaneers season tickets. I get it. They haven't been relevant in quite some time. It's Florida. I'll be quite honest with you. If I lived in Florida, I probably would not be as invested in the football teams as I am here in Philadelphia, because let's be honest, in December, you could be on the beach, you could be hanging out outside. I don't know how much use I'd have for football if I grew up in Florida. I say that because I have never lived in Florida nor grew up in Florida, so I could be mistaken. But being in a cold city, I think, thrives our sports addiction. There's a reason that the most wild sports cities are Philadelphia, Boston, New York, the Canadian cities when it comes to hockey, because they've got nothing else going on. Now, granted, Philadelphia and Boston and New York in the summer are warm and they're nicer cities. But when it comes to October, November, December, January, I can't go to the beach. I can't drive down to Wildwood or Cape May or Sea Isle and go to the beach. So I'm at home. And this is withstanding our jobs, because, of course, we have to watch these games for our jobs. But prior to being guys in sports radio, we watch sports every night. Because it's what goes on. It's the backbone of Philadelphia. I wonder if that would be the case if I lived in Miami, or I lived in L.A., or I lived in Santa Monica.
Which brings me to ask a question. We kind of touched upon this yesterday a little bit. Well, where did you go to college again?
I went to Penn State.
So what was that atmosphere like in terms of like people's sports fandoms? And like, was it weird for you like adjusting to other people's fandoms?
Yeah, it certainly was. And the conversation that you and I had yesterday spawned from, you know, the Pittsburgh fandom. It was 50-50 down the middle. It was Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. And then you're outliers. I had one friend that was from the Boston area Patriots fan. My roommate was from the Baltimore area. But, of course, is a Caps fan because there's no Baltimore hockey team, but was Baltimore everything else. But most of the people, I would say 85 to 90% of the people that went to Penn State are either Pittsburgh or Philly. Cold cities, that's what you do. You watch sports. I don't know if that's necessarily the case in Tampa Bay, but now it is. Now it's the case because Tom Brady's your quarterback. So maybe a guy looking weird in a different uniform is going to kickstart the Tampa Bay sports life. Who knows?
See, my school was a little bit weird since we were right near the Mason-Dixon line, so we had a decent amount of Philly sports guys, a little bit of Pittsburgh people, but the majority people I found were Baltimore fans.
That makes sense. I think if you can make that drive, it's not a long drive to get to Elizabethtown from that Baltimore, the metro area, but whether it's Baltimore or D.C., it's not that terrible of a ride. That makes sense. It's weird to see when you get a conglomerate, when you get schools that are you know, especially bigger schools. Like, yours is a little bit different because you were in an area that feeds multiple areas. But when you get bigger schools, you know, Penn State, Arizona State, Florida, it's interesting to see the dynamic that plays out.
And you went to a D1 school, so college sports. Penn State football, my God.
Right. Penn State football for sure. Basketball, not so much until this past season. Hockey has blossomed in the last couple of years, but football is and always will be priority number one. So it's a weird combination, because on Saturdays, we would all wear the same colors and root for the same team. And then on Sundays, it would be like, I don't like you anymore. You're a Giants fan. So we'll catch back up next Saturday when Penn State plays whoever. And then on Sunday, yeah, don't talk to me.
Turned into a Fallout game. You had to choose your faction.
Pretty much. That's exactly how it went. 610-632-0975. I did mention that I wanted to get into the conversation that Larry from Boise, Idaho brought up, the trading superstars, the trading quality for quantity. So we will get to that in just a second. But I want to get to Steve and Royersford up next. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for making the call.
Hey, first time, long time.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, one of the weirdest things, you probably aren't old enough to remember, but one of the weirdest things I ever saw was seeing Pete Rose in a Philly shirt the first time.
Okay, because of the tenure that he had in Cincinnati prior to that.
Oh my God, he came up with Cincinnati as a rookie, and
right.
he was part of the Big Red Machine, and then all of a sudden, one day he's wearing a Phillies jersey, and you're looking at him going, "Wait a minute, something's wrong here."
So let me ask you this, because you're the first person that gave us a player that came to Philadelphia that looked weird, as opposed to leaving Philadelphia and looking weird. Was that the sentiment for a lot of people in Philly? Like, hey, this is going to take some getting used to. This city just acquired one of the greatest hitters of all time.
Correct. And it did. It took almost a year before you were going, okay, yeah, he belongs here. And then, you know, I was 77, 78, and then 79, they were so much better.
Right.
And then winning the World Series in 1980, he sort of solidified the fact that he was a Philadelphia Philly.
It's kind of funny that you bring that up, because there I would have to think about that. Is there a current player on any of the four teams that you could say the same thing for? You know, like Didi Gregorius is one, but like
Bryce Harper does it, he'll be the guy.
Okay, that's actually a great point. I didn't even think about it to go that simple to say Bryce Harper. Is there anybody that left Philadelphia that you had the toughest time saying goodbye to?
I'm agreeing with a lot of your other callers. Reggie White. It was very hard to say goodbye to Reggie White.
Sure. I appreciate the phone call, Steve. Thanks as always. Very difficult to say goodbye to Reggie White. That's a common theme. It's going to be a common theme for the next 2 hours and 20 minutes as we move this show on. It's funny that Pete Rose was brought up, because we have not ever seen, at least, let me put it this way, we haven't seen in my lifetime an athlete leave a city, come to Philadelphia, and it be weird. Like Roy Holiday, this city embraced Roy Holiday right away. It was instant, and maybe because it was a trade as opposed to free agency, but this city embraced Roy Holiday from opening day when he pitched against Washington for the first time. I'm trying to think of somebody else. I can't off the top of my head come up with an answer that says, is there a player like Pete Rose, of Pete Rose's ilk, that left a team and came to Philly, and it was weird to see them in a Philadelphia uniform? Because we get a free agent, the city gets a free agent, the city gets a trade piece, and you clamor for that player, especially if it was in the news. Now with all of the media and all the news that's going on, we have the ability to see, before a trade happens, is this trade possibly going to happen? It's what social media and what 875 channels have done to us. At that time, I don't know if it was common knowledge that Pete Rose was going to be a Philly. So if you have a player like that on the flip side, that you were, it took you a while to welcome them into Philadelphia. Not welcome them, but understand that they are a Philadelphia athlete. I'd love to hear that one as well. 610-632-0975. Nick in Lawrenceville, you'll be up next, and then it can be you on the other side. Nat Marlowe producing the show. I'm Tyler Zulli. We're taking you until 8 o'clock right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the show. Had a really good conversation going so far on the toughest athletes it was to say goodbye to in Philadelphia, and the athlete that you thought looked the strangest in a new jersey. And that comes from Tom Brady being a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the first time, and Malcolm Jenkins leaving after six really successful years with the Philadelphia Eagles. He heads back to the New Orleans Saints. That's a tough goodbye for me for so many reasons. 610-632-0975. The strange jersey. I get a text from my dad. It says Willie Mays as a Met and Hank Aaron as a Brewer. And it just goes to show you the longevity of a career with Hank Aaron spending almost all of his career with the Braves, and Willie Mays spending almost all of his career with the Giants. It just gets weirder and weirder the longer your career goes. We're not talking 5 years. We're not talking 8 years. These are guys that spent double-digit years with one organization and finished their career with another. Tom Brady spent 20 years in New England. Pretty weird. Let's go to Nick in Lawrenceville up next on The Fanatic. What's up, Nick?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making
it. Hope everyone's day is staying safe.
Yeah, of course.
So to answer your question, so I'm a San Diego sports fan.
Okay.
But I do follow Philly sports. So the toughest, athlete that I had to say goodbye to in sports-wise was LaDainian Tomlinson.
Okay.
And then on the Philly side, it would have to be Andre Iguodala, you know, because he's one of the key factors why the Warriors won those championships, you know. And for
yeah,
those two
finals
people,
MVP the one year?
Yeah. Yeah, and he was finals MVP, and he was one of those guys that brought him that championship. And with LaDainian, you know, I idolized him growing up. I had his Charger jerseys growing up. And when he went to the Jets, you know, I was like, oh, this is weird, you know, seeing my favorite, you know, two athletes in different jerseys. So that's
right. And it certainly stings a little bit more. Like LT's second year in with the Jets was not very productive. But his first year with the Jets, I mean, he rushed for almost 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. He wasn't the running back that he was, of course, with the Chargers. But he had a productive enough year to be a guy that rushed for 914 yards on 219 carries. You assume that if you're the Chargers, it's a guy that you get rid of at the right time, you hope. And for him to only have one more good season kind of helps. But it being the first season, I'm sure that was probably pretty painful for Chargers fans to get through.
Yeah, and it was. And that's what draws us to sports, you know. And that's why we follow sports, because you know, we want to see excitement, or whether that's good trades or free agency. Like with Tom Brady going to the Bucks, nobody pictured that. You
right.
know, I thought he was coming to the Chargers, you know, and I thought
I did
you
too.
Know, that was going to be weird.
So, Nick, let me ask you this. You're a Chargers fan, and you are in a somewhat of a similar situation where for the first time in his NFL career, Philip Rivers isn't going to be a Charger. How is the how's the feel for Charger Nation with first with whoever you're gonna ride with, whether it be Tyrod Taylor or a rookie quarterback, and how do you guys feel about Philip Rivers going to play in Indianapolis next season?
Oh man, you know it's gonna be weird, you know, especially seeing them in a Colt uniform.
Yep.
and it's gonna be in the house that Peyton built, you know, and it's definitely gonna feel, you know, some odd, weird air in the way, you know. So, and with Tyrod Taylor, you know, to me he did good in Buffalo. You know, it might have not been numbers that jumped at you, but he was a decent starter.
Sure.
You know, but if we get Cam Newton or whoever in the draft or Tua, you know, it's going to be weird, like saying, oh, like we don't have our normal starting quarterback that we're used to be having and seeing for all these years. You know, and it was weird seeing Drew Brees go
right.
to New Orleans.
Right, New Orleans, I'm sure.
You
so
know?
let me ask you this real quick before I let you go. I love having conversations with fans of other sports teams who have their own opinions, because, you know, we talk to Philadelphia fans for most of the day. If you had your pick, assuming that Joe Burrow is going to be off the board at number one, is there a rookie quarterback that you necessarily like better than the other three?
You know, I really like Jordan Love. Jordan Love from Utah, I believe.
Yeah,
Utah State,
yep.
Yeah, and I really like him. He's a good prospect, good arm, good accuracy. He can scramble. So if we get him at number six or even Tua, you know, I wouldn't mind. But you know, they don't have to like start right away. You know, they can
sure.
sit behind the bench and then they can play if necessary. But so I really like Jordan Love.
Appreciate the phone call, Nick. I like Jordan Love too. And if the Chargers are going to go the Jordan Love route, that puts me under the surefire lock that Tyrod Taylor will be starting week one for the Chargers. Because he's a first round pick. It's tough to say project with a first round pick, but if you're going to look at, I guess, projections of the first round picks, he's the guy that needs to sit the most. Like when you talk about these quarterbacks in the first round, Joe Burrow is, in my opinion, surefire lock start day one. He's the Bengals starting quarterback day one. Or the Dolphins, if they find a way to make a crazy trade. But likely the Bengals starting quarterback day one. I'm also under the belief that depending on the situation that he gets put in, and if his hip is healthy and ready to go, I would start Tua Tagovailoa day one as well. I think he's ready to go. Now, it depends on where he ends up. Like, if he ends up with the Lions, Stafford's starting for one more season. But if he ends up with a team, let's say the Dolphins, I would not be shocked to see the Dolphins, if they like him more than they like Love or Herbert, and try to move up and draft him, he starts day one or close to it. I think that when you look at Justin Love, he is kind of polarizing because in 2018, he completed 64% of his passes through 32 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Had a phenomenal year at Utah State. Last year, that went down a tick. It went down to 62%. But he threw for 20 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. This is how important getting the quarterback pick right is. That Jordan Love is, in my opinion, probably not a first-round talent. He's probably a second, a day two guy. But it's so imperative to get a quarterback when you can. Jordan Love goes from second-round talent to top 10 pick, potentially. There is a real chance that Burrow, Tua, Herbert, and Jordan Love all go within the first 9 picks. I thought the Colts might take a quarterback. They obviously went a different route and traded for Buckner and then picked up Phillip Rivers. But, I mean, you think about it. The teams that could realistically take a quarterback are the Cincinnati Bengals. I think it's unprecedented, but the Cardinals did it last year, so the Washington Redskins still could take a quarterback. The Detroit Lions, the Miami Dolphins, the Los Angeles Chargers. Who knows? Jacksonville Jaguars still might take a quarterback if they find a guy they like. That's 5 teams in the first 8 picks that could conceivably take a quarterback. You make it 5 quarterbacks go in the top 10. Jordan Love's not a top 10 pick. I don't know if Justin Herbert's a top 10 pick. I think it should just be Tua and Burrow, but that's the importance and precedent of a quarterback in the NFL draft in the first round. 610-632-0975. We will, I promise you, we had this conversation a little bit with Larry and Boise in the 5 o'clock, the first segment of the 5 o'clock hour. We will start the first segment of the 6 o'clock hour, I should say, with that conversation of trading superstars, getting quality, or giving up quality and getting quantity back. Because Larry said it doesn't work. I tend to agree. There's one superstar in this city that I think the trade talks have finally stopped, but needed to stop 5 or 6 years ago. Well, also, I have a side topic that I wanted to get into today a little bit, and with the who do you like, or who hurt to say goodbye, and who do you see weird in a different jersey? I haven't been able to get to it just yet, so we'll get to that as well in the 6 o'clock hour. Matt Marlowe producing the show. I'm Tyler Zulli. We're taking you until 8 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.